Chapter 2. A Blow from Behind. We arrived at the Hereford Arms in Ross at 4:30. We were sipping our tea when the door burst open and in rushed one of the loveliest young women I have ever seen. "Oh, Mr. Sherlock Holmes," she cried. "I'm so glad you have come. I know that James didn't do it. We have known each other since we were children. He's too tender-hearted to hurt a fly."
"You may rely on my doing all that I can," replied Holmes, deducing correctly that the lady was Mr. Turner's daughter, Alice.
"James never did it," she repeated. "And about his quarrel with his father, I'm sure he refused to speak of it because it concerned me."
"In what way?"
"Mr. McCarthy wanted James to marry me. We have always loved one another like brother and sister, but James is so young, and he's not willing to commit himself to such a step."
She blushed, and I deduced that she would not object to marrying him, however.
"Thank you," said Holmes.
"And may I see your father tomorrow?"
"I'm afraid the doctor won't allow it."
"The doctor?
Have you not heard? Poor father has not been strong for years, but this has made him quite ill. He was such a strong man once, when he was in Australia. Mr. McCarthy was the only man who knew him in those days."
"Really?" said Holmes. "That is interesting. Thank you, Miss Turner. You have been a great help." She smiled gratefully at him.
"I must go home now. Father misses me so if I leave him."
She hurried from the room as impulsively as she had entered.
Holmes decided to set off for Hereford immediately to see James McCarthy, and while he was away I pondered the details of the murder. The local paper had the full inquest report, which included the surgeon's description of the injuries. The bones on the left-hand side of the skull, at the back, had been shattered by a heavy blow. This gave me pause for thought. Such a blow must have been struck from behind, which was not what you would expect in a face-to-face argument. Then there was the matter of the man's dying words. A rat. What could it mean? Holmes returned late without much more information. He had found out, though, the truth about James' feelings towards Miss Turner. "He is madly in love with her," remarked Holmes. "Then why argue with his father about the match?"
"Because, Watson, he is already married."
"Great heavens, Holmes! He's hardly more than a boy."
"And he was even more of a boy when he got himself into the clutches of a barmaid in Bristol. He married her secretly over a year ago when Miss Turner was away at boarding school. So he is being scolded for not doing what he would love to do. How maddening."
"Quite so. However, good may come of this evil. It seems that the barmaid found out he was in serious trouble. She has thrown him over. She has written to say that she has a husband already in the Bermuda dockyard. So there's no tie between them, happily so, but a small comfort for being in prison on a murder charge. But if he is innocent, who has done it? Let me draw your attention to two things, Watson. First, the murdered man had an appointment with someone. That person could not have been his son. His son was away, and he didn't know when he was returning."
"Of course. And the second thing?"
"The murdered man was heard to cry, 'Cooey,' before he knew his son was anywhere near. The case depends upon such things." Holmes closed his eyes and would say no more.